Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb here on a Throwback Thursday. 2007 we're going back to, but we're staying in the now with the good, the bad, and the dumb. What's the good of the day?
The good of the day is going to be 80-year-old Virginia Luce. I'm hoping I'm saying her last name is spelled L-U-C-E. That's Luce, right?
Okay, yeah.
Maybe Luce.
Luce.
I don't know.
Yeah, sure.
Anyways, she's 80 years old. She's 25. She's a four-time cancer survivor.
Good for her.
She worked for 25 years as a registered nurse and just retired 2 months ago. But her accolades are great. But what makes her really good is that she was standing in her kitchen the other day and shot an 11-point deer.
From her kitchen?
From her kitchen
window.
You
gotta be kidding
me. While making her and her husband lunch.
So she's making lunch, saw a deer in her backyard or somewhere, right?
Where? Yeah.
Just said,
grab the shotgun right between the eyes.
Bam. She gonna mount that thing on the wall?
I hope so.
Why not?
You know, with some sandwiches.
Would you say 11 point?
11 point.
I'm going to pretend like I know all about hunting.
The only thing I know is that. Is the,
that seems like
many,
a lot.
How many tips on the antlers?
That seems like a nice deer. Let's just call it what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds great.
I'm not much of a hunter myself.
No, I never got into it.
Me neither. But I find that impressive. First of all, it begs questions of you just have a shotgun nearby.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, do deers? Sure. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong about this. Do deers just routinely just hang out for a while in your backyard?
They can. When I lived in New Jersey, because they don't have stringent hunting regulations, they would come in our backyard constantly. But we wouldn't see a deer like that, like an 11-point buck. Like, we wouldn't see that. We would see just regular deer, young deer.
I can just imagine, a husband sitting in his recliner. Because, I mean, if she's 80, he's got to be up there, too. And
right, just sitting there, dozing off there, like old people do.
Yeah, maybe reading the paper.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden just hears a shotgun go off from the kitchen.
Maybe he's used to it. It's like, bagged another one.
Jason Squirrels.
That's right. I have a very, very good friend here in Tennessee. Years ago, he invited me hunting. I said, I never hunted before. He goes, no, you got to do it. You got to do it. And I said, I don't know. But he begged and begged and begged. So I went on the air and I was doing the show and I said, should I do this? I've never done it before. Oh my God. My Twitter light up. People were like, do it, do it, do it. And the trip got canceled. The outing got canceled. He never revisited it, but I was ready. But I was like, I can't be silent the whole afternoon. Like, I can't sit in a box in a tree and just be quiet.
Yeah.
Like, I want to talk, good time.
I'm going to bring my phone, start playing some Angry Birds.
Yeah.
Missed the deer that walked by.
I don't even know how to, like, what the protocol is. I don't know the rules. besides other than, making sure safety on the firearm. But I don't know the other, like in golf, right? You play golf and it's like, don't step in somebody's line or, don't.
Right.
There are things in golf you should learn before you play. Because, they're just common courtesies. I don't know the common courtesies or the unwritten rules of hunting. That was my big point. Besides the obvious, I don't know, little tiny things. So, but man, good for her. That's amazing.
She said she watched, I guess they have a corn feeder in the backyard. She says she does all her hunting from her house.
Oh, that's good.
That's fantastic.
That's great. You never have to leave the home. Yeah. Don't sit in a box, right?
Right after she shot, she hollered, well, that was the big one, Daddy.
Venison sausage. That's going to be awesome. All right, what's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day I got to give to Anthony Lynn.
Anthony Lynn, what did he do now?
Well,
we've already been talking about how bad Anthony Lynn has been.
What
could he have possibly done to warrant this honor?
The Chargers season hasn't been going too well. I don't know if you've noticed.
No, yeah, okay.
I don't know if I've talked about it at all.
Right.
And then they got pretty much got shellacked, if we can use that word.
45-0, however you want to, whatever superlative you want to put on it.
Total beatdown.
Right.
Well, he had this to say about that total beatdown last Sunday.
We're in a valley right now, and we're down, but we're not out. Just the other day was Pearl Harbor Day. One of the biggest defeats this country's had. And we bounced back from that. I kind of used that as an example with my staff the other day. We're down and out, but we're not dead yet. So We're going to finish this season out the right way. And today we're going to start with a good day of practice.
Can we stop using tragedies as motivation for getting our sports teams back up and running?
Yeah. Yeah.
Can we stop that?
You know what? I mean, maybe use a tragedy. I'll give you a benefit of the doubt. But I think there are certain holy, I'm going to use the term holy tragedies, yeah. If I will. I'll coin that phrase, of the ones you don't use. Like, I think Pearl Harbor is one of them. You definitely never want to compare any sport to 9/11.
Right, sure.
Because, I mean, you're talking devastation unparalleled to what we've ever experienced.
But listen, I mean, you know, I'm all for military conflict when it's necessary, but it's not something that we should glorify en route to comparing it to the revitalization of a sports team.
Yeah.
I mean, it's devastating for the people involved, whether we win the war or not. The aftermath is serious. The psychological effect is serious. People see things that they never thought they would see. They experience things. They do things they never thought they would do. This is not on any level the same. Right? Not even close. What people experienced at Pearl Harbor affected them. The survivors today probably still think about it.
Of course.
What they saw and experienced, right? They didn't, the damage and the devastation and what they saw and what they experienced and just the overall emotional drain that they went through on that fateful day.
Yeah.
Is nothing compared to losing 45-0 to the Patriots. Like the idea, and I'll be honest with you, if I was in the meeting, I'd probably go, this doesn't feel right. No.
No. Don't do that, please.
Let me put it this way. They heard people banging on the boat in the water and couldn't get to them.
Right.
Like, they knew that those people were in that boat, they were going to die because they couldn't get to them. That's devastating.
Is that the same as, you know, Joey Bosa at the bottom of a pile?
Right, exactly.
You know, having just missed tripping up Cam Newton or something?
Yeah, exactly. I remember when Roy Williams years ago did this. Remember the Haitian earthquake in late 2000s? And he said to his, like, some woman in his office or something, he said, man, you think the Haitians are going through a problem. They haven't gone through the schedule we've gone through. And it was like he got in trouble for it. He said something like that. I'm paraphrasing. Well, he compared his struggles at North Carolina to the people in Haiti who lost everything to an earthquake.
And that's like,
why do we do this?
I kind of threw Anthony Lynn in the bad here because, I mean, Anthony Lynn's a smart guy. He's got to hear all the pundits. He's got to read all the news that's being circulated out there in social media that, you know, people are wanting him out. That, you know, his seat has gotten really hot because you have a star quarterback in the making.
Yeah, you don't blow it.
And you can't get it done. And then you throw this on top of it. That's not going to bode well for you because now the Chargers organization is going to see the backlash from this and go, we don't want this.
Yeah, and look, here's my advice to coaches, right? You got to find the middle ground on these kind of comparisons, right? On the one hand, you don't use these kind of things to talk about your own personal struggles. You don't compare your struggles as a sports team to Pearl Harbor and 9/11 or other things that have been tragic. But on the flip side, you don't dismiss your struggles by saying, well, there are other bigger issues in the world. We don't like hearing that either.
Right.
We don't like when your team is 3-9 and you stink and you have a star quarterback and you're not utilizing him and you don't want him to, and you're not seeing the progress of your team. You don't go, well, in the end, none of this matters. No, it does matter. You're responsible for making it matter in the context of the sports world. We don't want you to dismiss it as, oh, well, you know, there are bigger tragedies in life. Like, no, let's stay in this world. In this world, you stink. You're terrible. Let's stay in this context. Let's stay in this perspective. So we don't like the extremes of this. Find the middle ground. How about just stay away from those things altogether?
Right.
And just say, yeah, we're going to bounce back because I really believe in my team. And just leave it at that.
Just leave it alone.
Leave it alone.
You can talk about your team.
You know what you could do? How about this? You want to talk about comeback? You could say something like, you know what? I was watching Pulp Fiction the other day and I went, John Travolta's career was in the tank.
There you go.
He made a comeback. We think we can be the John Travolta. Find an entertainer. Find a music act. Find something that is a little bit more lighthearted about resurrecting your career than resurrecting and coming back from Pearl Harbor.
Or stick to your own sport and say,
stick to your own sport is a great idea.
If Alex Smith can come back from nearly losing a leg, why can't we as a team come back?
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Stay within your own realm. Pearl Harbor. What a dumb idea that was.
That was. And it, right, almost, it almost did end up in the dump.
Right, but...
I don't know if I'm going to pronounce her name right, but Chef Nigella, Nigella Lawson?
Okay.
She's an English food writer and television cook.
Got it.
She has been the subject of ridicule lately because of the way she says microwave.
Oh, let's hear how she says it, or how did she say it?
You ready?
Yes.
But I still need a bit of milk, full fat, which I've warmed in the microwave.
She did that on purpose, right?
No, that's how she
says
it.
She did it. She does.
That's how she says it.
Microwave?
Microwave. There you go. Listen again.
But I still need a bit of milk, full fat, which I've warmed in the microwave.
Awesome. I'm doing that. I'm doing That's hilarious. Well, that's great.
And I'm pretty certain that this isn't how the rest of England says microwave.
Yeah.
Right. I know there's a lot of words that we say versus, you know,
how they say it
or the way we spell it. Like we spell theater, E-R. They'll spell theater, R-E
yes.
at the end. You know, we'll do different things like that. And there are certain words that we pronounce differently than they do. Or we just have different. Like we don't have a Louvre.
No, that's true. That's
or
a good point.
A Lou. Is it Lou? I don't even know what it is.
I don't know what it is.
But we don't have that.
Yeah.
We have a bathroom.
They spell tire, T-Y-R-E.
Yeah. They're weird.
Yeah, it's weird.
But I am pretty certain.
Can you play that one more time? Because I want to get it in my brain, because that's how I want to talk about our microwave from now on. Microwave.
I still need a bit of milk, full fat, which I've warmed in the microwave.
Oh, that's great. Oh, my God. I'm riding with that.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to say that at Christmas, at our Christmas gathering in front of the family.
You got it, right?
So would you like me to warm that up in the microwave? What? Microwave.
What's that?
What's that? Microwave. You have one. What? Microwave.
Yeah.
What do we mean you don't know what that is?
Skip Bayless keeps his microwave in the counter.
Oh, this is fun. All right. That's a good, the bad, and the dumb. And that was good. That was a good one to leave off on. On a throwback Thursday, it is Wake Up Call on ESPN Nation Radio.